Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
Today we are talking about blame. You know, blame is this idea that I'm going to hold you responsible, usually for something that I did. And it's rarely a good thing when this happens, right? Well, think about it. What happens when I blame you for a certain behavior? Basically, I don't want to take responsibility for it. I don't want to admit that I've done something wrong, that I've made a mistake, or that I've done something immoral. So the easy thing to do is for me is to deflect all of that wrongdoing onto someone else. And usually that someone else is the someone that I love and I care for deeply. Remember that conversation between God, Adam and Eve, and Satan in Genesis 3? It's called the fall. Yeah, that didn't go so well, did it? All that blame shifting, playing the blame game there. Well, we are going to learn from them, along with some other folks here, on what they did right and what they did wrong. And then most importantly, how we can apply these experiences to our lives personally. So blame is our topic for the next 3 days. This is part one of three and comes from a teaching series called The Sex Spiral, Forgiven and Free from Pornography. The Sex Spiral is a set of awareness triggers that explain the location as to where you are inside this habit, this bondage, or this addiction to pornography. So in today's podcast, we're going to discuss three things. Number one, how someone will always be blamed as you move through the trigger of justification. Number two, how someone is going to be the victim of my sin without exception. And number three, when you commit a moral crime, the law demands justice. So let's get started with today's lesson. This is titled, It's Not My Fault.
Father, thank you for the silence. Thank you for the quietness just to still our minds and calm our hearts. For many of us, it's the first time that we've had just a few minutes of silence all week long. Lord, you've given us eyes to see, ears to hear. You have renewed our mind. And I pray, Father, that we are listening to you. You're the great counselor. You're the wise one. And you live and you dwell inside of us to lead us and guide us. And I pray, Lord God, as we open up your word tonight, that you continue to do so. All righty, guys. Take a look at the spiral itself on the first page of your binder there. So once again, as a very quick review here. Trigger number one is the awareness. What am I going to do when I'm first aware that I'm susceptible to sexual sin? I've got three choices, right? I can pray. I can flee. I can confess. If I don't do that, then I move down into trigger number two, unhealthy thoughts or shame. And I start living my life and making choices out of whatever goes on in my head, that I'll never be good enough, that I'm a wounded person, so of course I'm going to make choices, or it's somebody else's fault. That's how I continue to live life. Temptation is number three, the desire to actually commit the sin. Trigger number four, I'm going to resist a little bit and then finally give into it by talking myself into the sin itself with rationalization. Everybody else is doing it. I need a little relief. It's only this. I'm a pretty good guy. I move into hiding for the sole purpose of committing the sin. And then I act out in the sin itself with trigger number seven. Once I do that, I relationally withdraw from people. Because I'm mad at people, I'm mad at myself, I'm mad at God. Then I justify my behavior. And now we're on trigger number 10, blame. So I justified my behavior, and now I'm going to start blaming people. Key point number one on your worksheet: when we move through the step of justification, someone will always be blamed. Key point number two: someone is going to be the victim of my sin without exception. Someone is going to be the victim of my sin without exception. So pause and think about that. Think about this idea of a victim. A victim is someone who has been harmed by someone else, right? Sometimes we hear this thing of victimless crimes. And by its own definition, that's an oxymoron, right? It doesn't exist. A crime is it's an offense against someone else. And many people believe that pornography is a victimless crime. Prostitution, victimless crime. So why do we believe that? Yeah. It goes back to rationalization, doesn't it? If I'm not hurting anybody, you know, I can pull these images up, and she gets paid a lot of money to do that. She wants to do that. She likes to do that. It's just not addressing the real issue of the sin itself. It just keeps me inside the spiral. Because at the end of the day, I just want to do it. I'm just going to continue talking myself into doing these things. Now we're going to move into kind of a mindset with this trigger, this mindset of condemnation. I'm going to condemn, I'm going to blame, I'm going to reprimand, I'm going to rebuke, I'm going to find fault with you, with my wife, with my kids, with my employer. Anybody that I can see, I'm going to find fault with them, or I'm just going to find fault with myself. I'm going to blame myself. So key point number three, when you commit a moral crime, the law demands justice. And then key point number four, sin also demands justice. So sin is any failure to conform to the moral law. So just think about the rebellion that we have against God, right? So sin doesn't include not just lusting or stealing or doing all of those behavioral type things. Sin is also the attitude. It's also my desire, my lust. Once again, as you look at this spiral, just like we talked about in trigger number seven, it's not just the acting out that's wrong. Right? And that's where most books start. They're gonna show you how to stop doing what you're doing. They're gonna teach you to manage this sin. And it's what I'm showing you guys here, it's not just this, it's the whole thing. Exactly. That's the whole point. You've had six opportunities to exit the spiral, and most people are going, okay, we're gonna start here. There's no way that you can, not with all this sexual tension and buildup, are you actually going to start there? I had a couple in my office this week, premarital counseling stuff, and I said, you guys having sex? No? You sure? Well, oral sex.
What is?
Right? Oh, so oral sex isn't sex? Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah. Well, you guys got to knock that off, because you're going to end up having sex before you're married. You can't stop. You can't continue to have oral sex and get that far and not have sex. That's the whole purpose of getting riled up. But even then, I was like, can I show you something here on this little diagram? No, you're not going to be able to stop. And they wanted to justify and blame and spin. Oh.
So who answered the question between the couple?
The woman did.
And did she answer truthfully?
Well, She was a lot more upfront than he was. He was just kind of like, oh, I do not want to be here right now.
Yeah. When you said that, it reminded me back when me and we were going through those classes, and I remember we were going into the, before we went in, driving together, she's like, all right, he asked if we're having sex. The answer is no. I'm like, okay, I'm good with that. We get her to ask a question. She threw me under the bus. Yes! Yes! Oh, my God, I got her so fast. I still laugh about that today. Remember that day? You just threw me under that bus.
We shouldn't let you answer first.
No.
Yes, we are.
So when it comes to this trigger, we've got two options in the middle of your worksheet. We've got two options when it comes to blame. Number one, you can accept the responsibility and the consequences of your actions. You can accept the responsibility and the consequences. Remember, we talked about in trigger number seven, the actual acting out. It's basically that tsunami wave that is getting ready to come, right? So the sea floor shifts, you have an underwater earthquake, and all of a sudden you've got this massive wave coming. You can't manage that. You're just a fool to think that you can manage this destructive power. And if you YouTube some of those tsunami waves, you can just see its wrath. I mean, a life preserver isn't even going to help you. I mean, this thing is coming so fast, it's going to slam you up against a wall. I mean, you're just dead. But you can take responsibility for your actions, and they're painful, right? We've all been through that kind of pain. So you can either accept the responsibility, or number two, you can actually blame others, which is what we tend to do. And notice the bullet point right underneath that is that could be yourself. And if you're doing this, then that means that you're working inside your own woundedness. I'm blaming myself. Well, of course I just did it again. It's what I always do. This is who I am. I'm never going to change. This is as good as it gets. And if you've got those thoughts going through your brain, and I would just want to encourage you and go, those are lies. Those are just flat-out lies straight from hell that you have a choice to stop believing them. It is for freedom that Jesus Christ, right? It's for freedom. So why do we go back into a yoke of bondage? We choose to go back there. It's actually easier to move back into a state of dysfunction because we're used to the dysfunction. But when we take a step towards holiness, all of a sudden it's unknown and it's scary. Because we don't know how to experience that, so we get scared and we step back into dysfunction. And we would actually, this is really scary, we would actually rather live in dysfunction for most of our lives than take a step towards holiness and stay there. Because we have this illusion of control inside the dysfunction. I can kind of lie my way around my wife. I can kind of control my kids. I can kind of do this at work. Life's good, right? I would say,
Why is life not good? Well, because of the illusion of control that we hold on to, especially when it comes to recovery from habitual sin like pornography. We don't want to do certain things, especially when we begin. We don't want to go to counseling. We don't want to go to group. I don't want to read a book, and I certainly don't want to journal. I don't want to write anything. We also don't want to be told how to do those things. So you know what? It's just easier for me to blame you for all of my problems, thinking that my life would somehow it's just magically going to change overnight if I don't do something different. But you know what? At the end of the day, we still have our eyes on ourselves. When we get into this mode of thinking, it's all about us. We've got our eyes on our sin rather than our Savior. And when our eyes are not on our Savior, man, that's when things get sideways really quick. When the very foundation that we're standing on is wrong, it's fantasy, it's an illusion, then nothing can be built on it. our lens through life is not based in reality. See, we're just deceiving ourselves. We are being misled to how life is truly to be lived. Jesus said this in Matthew 7. This is from a version of the Bible called The Voice. Those people who are listening to me, those people who hear what I say and live according to my teaching, well, you are like a wise man who built his house on a rock, on a firm foundation. And when the storms hit and the rain pounded down and the waters rose, the levees even broke. The winds beat all the walls of that house. But the house did not fall because it was built upon the rock. Those of you who are listening and do not hear, you are like a fool who builds a house on sand. And when a storm comes to his house, what will happen? Well, the rain will fall, the waters will rise, the wind will blow, and his house will collapse with a great, great crash. Well, the great news is that we have a choice. We always have a choice. We can build our house on the rock, or we can build it on sand. We can exit this sex spiral by fleeing the situation, by confessing sin, or praying to our Savior God, Jesus Christ. And we can stop blaming other people. Right now, it can start today. And we can also stop blaming God, too. You know, knowing our options, realizing where we are in this spiral is huge. You don't have to keep doing what you've always done. So let's talk about options when it comes to protecting you and your family from allowing pornography into your home, your office, and your church. If you don't have a current filtering software system that blocks pornography, there's accountability to what you're doing online, let me recommend Covenant Eyes filtering software. I've been using this software for years, and let me just encourage you to visit CovenantEyes.com today. I'm a firm believer that everybody needs to be protected when it comes to our online life. When you visit CovenantEyes.com, you can receive a 30-day free trial when you put my full name in the promo box with no spaces. And when you sign up, you're also supporting this podcast and the ministry of Seven Places. Well, thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. I'm Dustin Daniels. And if you're in Phoenix, I want to invite you to our weekly community group. It's a grace group, and it's for everyone. Men, women, husbands and wives, single, divorced, everybody's welcome. You're invited to listen to God with us every Tuesday at 7 p.m. at Northern Hills Community Church. We are in Building A, room 301. You can follow me on Twitter at Purity Pastor, and you can email me your questions, DustinDanielsRadio.com. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God isn't just a lot of talk. It's living in God's power. And that is my prayer for you, is to live in the Holy Spirit power of Almighty God today. And that power is in the very name. It's in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I love you. Happy Monday. And I look forward to our time again tomorrow.